Welcome back. I hope you have your materials from the website studywithfriends.org. But if you don't, just listen intently. We're going to start today with 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 to 17. So turn there in your Bible. We will move quickly into our own reasons about why knowing God's Word is important to us personally. I think you may find some common ground with the women around the table today, and I pray that God blesses you with His Word and through our time together. Let's get started.
This would be 2 Timothy 3:14-17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Okay, so in the homework, we're looking specifically at verse 15 and verse 17 for the two main purposes Paul writes to advise his friend Timothy on why Timothy should know Scripture. What were they?
To be wise for salvation.
Mm-hmm. And what was in verse 17?
Thoroughly equipped to do good work.
Mm-hmm. Good. So as we grow our relationship with God into a more personal one, the Bible becomes personal too. God's Word becomes bread for our soul and light for our path. This week's memory verse, Amy, you read it a few minutes ago. Will you read it again? Mm-hmm. Nice and slow so we can really memorize it.
And it is Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path.
That's a good one.
I think we should all sing it.
We should sing. I'm not singing. People are going to be sick of hearing my voice already. They don't need to be tortured with the singing. But Michael W. Smith did make a song. Go look it up. So let's talk about our personal motivation. Why around the table? Why is it important? What have your experiences been? We talked about experiences in the general populace of the Christian faith. I want to know what everybody's talking about. I want to have a faith that's my own. What have your personal experiences been? Why is it important for you to know God's Word?
Well, I can say that I'm one that I have anxieties, and I want to know the outcome of things, and so I would be fearful to maybe go forward with things, and this passage says I don't have to be afraid of the darkness. I can take one step at a time. I don't have to know the outcome. I only have to know where I'm walking right now. So I'm walking in faithfulness, and He's going to lead me through the darkness or through my fear, but I don't have to fear it because I'm safe. I'm safe just walking where He's going to guide me with that light. I mean, that's such a powerful picture.
Yeah, and a powerful, if you can internalize that, it's a game changer. Mm-hmm. If you can really embrace it, if you're someone who is anxious, and you can really learn to embrace it through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that lives in you, it's a game changer. I was just so funny that you bring that up, because I was looking last night, I was researching some stuff, and I had told somebody one of the most frequently used words, I mean, besides the and God in the Bible, is remember. But I inaccurately told her it was the most frequently commanded, because I had gotten that information and I inaccurately passed it along to her. And I'm going to correct it. Actually, I have a note to myself to correct it with her later today. Because I looked it up, and do you know what it actually is? The most frequently used phrase or command is do not be afraid. And I was like, huh, I did not know that. To me, remember makes a lot of sense, because it's, you know, this is Him. Okay, let me write it down so you can read it again and again. Don't forget all the things I'm teaching you. But underneath all the things I'm teaching you, what does He want? Don't be afraid. Don't worry. And it's so funny that you bring that up, because I'm writing it in pencil because I didn't get a chance to source it. But four or five resources said the same thing, and I thought, oh, I'll have to do my own work on it before I can say, oh yeah, that's definitely the most frequently used command. But at the very least, it's quite frequently used.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, one of my daughters is anxious, and you know, God bless her, she has learned. She said, you know, Mom, will you pray for me about this? Can we pray about it? Even the other day, she was, I keep having this nightmare. And so I wanted to talk to her and unpack what could be, you know, driving it. What's she really worried about? What's this really about? I always say that to my kids. What's this really about? But then at the end, she drew me back. I was going at it from a psychological perspective. And she was like, Mom, I don't know what it's all about, but could we just pray about it? And I was, oh. There you go, out of the mouths of babes. But, you know, she experiences anxiety. And if, she, you know, if I do a good job with her, she'll learn what you're learning or have learned, which is embodying the word is the anti-anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's great. Thank you for that personal. Does anybody else want to share their own personal perspective?
My main reason is just to draw closer to him.
Mm.
And I think as you know, active Christians, you know, we have seasons where we feel closer to God and seasons where we don't. And those seasons when you're close to him are like, you're like on fire for him. And like, I think we all like strive for that. And you don't always have it. You're not always walking like that. But the more you're in it, the closer you are to that, to getting back to that. And that's when I think you're the best equipped Christian to be around others, you know.
Mm-hmm. And for your own walk.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I always try to remind myself, God's goal first is inside me. He'll get his work done with or without me.
Mm-hmm.
His first goal is the relationship with me. It helps me keep it simple. Because if I learn something or if I do something or if I catch fire, I'm like, who am I supposed to tell about this? And I have to remember, first, it's for me and my relationship with him. And would you say, true or false, the seasons when you feel more close to him and less close to him are seasons when you're inside or outside of Bible study? Like regular accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Look,
oh, yeah.
I personally love to sit down, obviously doing a lot of writing. That's all in my own time. But I can completely fall out, especially if I'm not studying with other women, which is really the core of why we're doing this. Because it's so important to have regular, accountable fellowship around the word. And for whatever reason, God prescribes that. You know, he wants us to have an individual relationship, but there's something very important about fellowshipping with others as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I don't know if this is the case for you, but I always feel closer when I'm actually like weekly meeting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if I just show up, like last night, I was doing some work in preparation for this, and there were some new insights I was so excited about. But it's always in the context of fellowship that either those insights get even further developed or undergirded. And I need that because I need to know. I know my human mind is not ever going to wrap itself around the God of the universe. But each of us brings a little bit of a different perspective, and that grows me in ways that I couldn't ever grow on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Paul tells all the churches through his letters to meet together regularly,
mm-hmm.
you know, not just for worship, but for fellowship
mm-hmm.
and encouragement.
Mm-hmm. And the product that Amy just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
which is drawing
mm-hmm.
closer to
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, accountability is a big one for me. If I don't have homework, I may or may not actually go
mm-hmm.
do, you know. I'm flawed. So, of course, that's a great insight. Anybody else want to share?
I just come back to lamp and light. The anxiety, I get that. Been there. But, you know, just right now from being out of it to entering back into the Bible study and getting back into the Word and, it's so easy to get hung up in daily life and you know, just like anything else, eating right, working out, but, you know, we talked about it the last session, but just thinking of this verse that it's the lamp, it's the light.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's dark, when I can't really see where I'm going, as you said, I don't necessarily need to see where I'm going. I just need to have that lamp and light on. So,
that's
you
great.
Know.
To me, sometimes it's like, you know, my kids are busy. Our lives are so busy. And my husband and I don't get out on dates as much as we should. And when I go out with him, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is great. Yeah, I like you. And that's how I feel when I... you don't remember how much you want it or how great it is until you get back and you open the Bible and you're
mm-hmm.
like, oh, yeah,
I love
this. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's totally a veil put over our
mm-hmm.
face. But I always say, once you're saved, Satan can't have you back, but he can distract you.
Oh, yeah.
He can
mm-hmm.
derail you.
Mm-hmm.
He can discourage you. All the D words. And when I allow those things to happen, I forget... this sense of fellowship and comfort that I get. And I think to myself, why did I let myself go through a season without that?
Mm-hmm.
It's right here.
Mm-hmm.
It's available to me at all times. And I'm just
mm-hmm.
lazy or distracted. Distracted is a big one for
mm-hmm.
me. I'm
yeah,
just busy.
Me too. Me too.
But you know what? I'm not too busy to watch
mm-hmm.
So You Think You Can Dance.
Mm-hmm.
So I could open the Bible.
But he's so faithful because usually, at least for me, I don't know about you girls, but for me, the first time I reopen the Bible and get into it, bam, he hits me over the head with a 2x4.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes twice.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened
yeah,
recently.
It's like, hi, welcome
it's
back.
It's like, hey, how you doing? And
I
in
have
case,
so much for you.
Yeah, yeah. And it's usually something that I've hit on a year or two ago. And, oh, yeah, that's
I
right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm back.
Yep. Welcome back.
I just wanted to add that I come from a mechanical background, and I was a chemistry major in college before I was a nurse. And so for me, there is a right way that things work. You know, mechanical
mm-hmm.
things have to, the gears have to work together. Things have to fit together properly, or they don't work well. You
mm-hmm.
might get it to work, but it's not going to work the way it was intended to work. And certainly with chemistry, if you don't get the right formula, you're not going to get the right end product.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do, the reason for me to study the Bible is because I really do believe that God created the universe. So he fits perfectly. He's like the greatest mechanical engineer and astrophysicist, molecular biologist that ever we could imagine. And he created all of these things to work together for the purpose that he designed them for. It would be in my best interest to read how he intended it to work, and then know that there is a personal way for me to fit into that. I'm actually one of the molecules
mm-hmm.
in this formula here, so I really need to know where I fit this in this whole universal picture. I know that's, I'm like a master of analogies,
I
want to
clap.
That's
so good.
Even if I didn't want to believe in the Christian part, if I believe that God is the creator of the universe, then I really need to read his instruction manual, as cliche as that
mm-hmm.
sounds.
Right.
I really need to read how he intended for it to work. And then through Christ, know that there is a story. I am part of that story, that relationship is part of the work.
Isn't that amazing?
Of it. It is amazing. And I wonder how people don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
How don't you get that you are part of this? No, this isn't written around you. It's written for you.
Mm-hmm.
Leads me. One of my favorite verses is from Colossians when it talks about the supremacy of Christ, and it just says, in him all things hold together. I mean, he is what holds this universe together, the molecules. Mm-hmm. And when you say mm-hmm. we're like a molecule, sometimes we feel so insignificant. Mm-hmm. But even just recently for me, you know, you can read the word and you think he wrote the word and it applies to everybody. But recently in my life, I realized he wrote this word for me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who else reading it. He did this for me, and he mm-hmm. is my God, and he's going to mm-hmm. lead me on my way. You know. Anyway, it's amazing.
It is.
The verse that Amy's been reading is, doesn't say the your can be plural, but I choose to read it in the singular. It's a lamp to your feet mm-hmm. and a light to your path.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? You guys too just created this beautiful juxtaposition. I don't know if you realize it, but you were talking about the bigness of God and how he created and how it behooves you mm-hmm. to understand. If he gave you information, mm-hmm. It's like reading, you know, it's like, you know, we get these toys for our kids and they've got 700 pages of instructions. And you know what? You're not getting that
Let's
bike
see.
Together
Let
without
me
the...
Let me
you
see
can
if
try,
I can figure this
you can
out
be
on
stubborn,
my own.
Yeah. I'm not going to mention any names, about not wanting to read the instruction manual. But at the end of the day, like you just said, maybe you get the wheels on and they'll spin, mm-hmm. but it's not going to work right. So you were talking about the bigness and how the grandness of the mm-hmm. of creation forces you into his word so you understand how you mm-hmm. fit. And you followed behind with the personal nature mm-hmm. of it, which is perfect. Because that's just, sometimes I get frustrated with myself that I'm so blown away. I'm like, Holly, you've been walking this for such a long time. Why are you still so surprised when God is God? But I just recently came to a revelation. I'm not supposed to get jaded to it. That's worship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my best expression to him. I am in awe of you. That's how I should be all the time. But when you just did that, it created that in me again. That is amazing to me. That the God who breathed life into the universe, which we as human, tiny little brained people don't even fully understand. Mm-hmm. And yet, when I open this word, it's like pierces me to my core. It's so personal. Mm-hmm. That, I'll never get used to that. And I've decided I shouldn't. I shouldn't. Mm-mm. I should embrace the blowing of my mind because that's who he is.
His mercies are new every day.
He'll never be anthropomorphized. I can never fully conceive of him in my tiny little brain. And so I should stop being frustrated that I can't do that. I should just soak it up. Because I don't, you know, our friend Linda, who said in a Bible study when she was like, I don't want to serve a God I can fully understand. Mm-hmm. And that was so great. Yeah. Because that's not a God at all.
Yeah.
That's a mm-hmm. human creation. If yeah. I can fully understand mm-hmm. it, that's not God at all.
Mm-hmm. Well,
props to Linda Patterson.
I like how you brought up how personal it is. Exactly what you're saying. The bigness, yet the singularity of it, the personal, coming from someone 12 years Catholic school. I was one of those people taught to pray, if it serves your purpose, if mm-hmm. it's okay with you, Lord, because I know you're busy. You know, it's that whole...
It's couching your prayer.
Yeah, that's how they, you know, and I'm happy to say at least from what I can see, it's not taught in that manner anymore, and I could be speaking just as my own Catholic experience. However, it's a hurdle that I had to get over in my faith to know that I'm not bothering him when I ask him for what's, yeah, it's a busy world out there and he's got a lot to do, but he is so huge and we cannot understand him, yet he cares about me. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
how many times did Jesus say, you have not because you ask not, pray without ceasing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, you're not bothering him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It does feel like, I'm sure you have more important things to do, but sometimes it feels that mm-hmm. way. Okay. Sometimes, but I keep a prayer journal, and one of the entries, I remember it was so minutia. I had house guests coming, I had a small child, baby, Gianna, she was little, and I really needed her to nap because I was losing it. You know, I was just feeling so stressed out. And she had really was not a fan of napping early on. She had things to do, places to go. She did not want to lay down in the middle of the day. So I remember putting her in, and she took a 2-hour nap. And that was like, I prayed that she would, and she did. And I put it in my prayer journal because it's, I can't feel stupid about praying for that. I'm not, I refuse to let the enemy squash my relationship with God. If my kids can't come to me and say, Mom, can you help me with this? And it's something small and insignificant. I love them. I'm still going to help them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop what I'm doing and I'm going to help them. Or I'm going to finish what I'm doing and I'm going to help them. And I don't want the enemy to get mileage out of me thinking God doesn't love me that same way. Mm-hmm. So that's great. Great insight. Okay, let's talk about a few more scriptures. I have Psalm 40, verse 8. We're going to talk about how they apply to our key questions. So we're going to circle back to what the Bible says about why it's important to know the Bible. Psalm 40, verse 8 says, I desire to do your will, O my God, your law is within my heart. So I think what we've been saying this, that the more I know, the better I want to do. The more I understand, the more I want the relationship. And that it's a cycle I have to be obedient in maintaining. That's what I'll throw out there for that one. Mm-hmm. Caroline, do you have Psalm 119? Oh, that's a long one.
That is a long one. Okay. Everybody get comfy.
How about it?
Psalm 119, 1 through 16. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees, that I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. That's just jumping back to verse 6. I will not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. One of the commands being pray to me. Pray, you know, I am your God, pray to honor me. And that not being put to shame, not, you know, being proud of it, knowing that even though the enemy would like me to think that he's a little too busy for me, he's not. And knowing the word, going on to the verses 9 through 16, it's like a reiteration of, yeah, okay, I'm going to know your commands. I'm going to know your decrees. I'm going to know your statutes. I'm going to know your precepts. Because if I don't, how can I do this? How can I live in your word?
That's good. You know what I noticed when, as you were reading it? There's a cyclical rhythm to this psalm. And I think it's encapsulated in verse 10. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. So there's a cycle here in this psalm that says, I'm going to do my part. I know you're going to do your part. I'm going to do my part and you'll do your part. How do I? This is how. Obeying, then I will not be put to shame when I consider your commands. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Do you see the cycle that the psalmist is, you know, it's sort of this give and take that we've been talking about, that he's showing an understanding of having been around the block a few times he knows that his obedience will produce God's faithfulness. And so he's speaking into, blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. And in the same breath, he says, "Do not utterly forsake me." So if he's doing nothing wrong, there's no concern about utterly forsaking. But he knows it's a cyclical process. Mm-hmm. I'll show up, and you'll show up, and it's a praise. I mean, the psalms are this psalm is a praise. Thank you, God. Blessed are those of us who walk according to the law of the Lord. And I just, when you read it, I will delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. To me, the psalmist is sharing the experience that we've been sharing today, which is, every time I come back to God, he comes back to me. He doesn't move. We move. Every time I come back, his faithfulness is new every morning. So I just thought that cycle is sort of snuggled in there of, help me, you know, like the man who said to Jesus, "I believe," in the same breath, "help me with my unbelief."
Absolutely.
So it's this concept of, yes, I want this. I recognize it as good for me, but I need your help to accomplish it.
Psalm 119 expresses so beautifully that our relationship with God is a fully engaged relationship on both sides. We show up and God shows up. He promises all over the Bible that he'll do that. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." He is constantly inviting us into a deeper relationship with him, on the pages of the Bible or by the promptings of his Holy Spirit living inside us. God, I pray that you would give us the gift of longing for you. Lift the distractions and the discouragements that would get in the way of our relationship with you, and help us carve a path into your word every day, because we know you will meet us there. Thank you for your faithfulness. We are in awe of you. Under the lordship of your Son, Jesus. Amen.